The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This week, we discuss driving in the Isle of Man and an update on the price of salmon. So let's strap down, strap in, and do this.
This is Just Another Trucking Podcast.
Hello and welcome to Just Another Trucking Podcast with me, Chris, and alongside me as always is my good friend, co-host, and a man who, if he went into space, wouldn't need a space shuttle, just a stepladder. It is, of course, Tom.
I've been thinking about getting a stepladder for my truck, because despite the fact that I am 6'10", I cannot reach the frigging windows. Why do they have to be that high? Right, if I'm right. So if I'm 6'10", I am legally classed as a giant. That's not right. That's not me just saying that. I am, according to the NHS, I am classed as a giant. And if a giant is unable to reach the fucking windows of a Mercedes, it is too high. Why is it we can't have like a little, you know what, you know how on the Scanias, you've got little fold down bits so you can kind of reach up a bit higher. Why can't we have them on the sides so we can actually reach up to the fucking windows?
Well, I've got a simple solution to this.
Is it a stepladder? Because as mentioned, if I've got a stepladder, I'm stratosphere like, eh?
No, I was just going to say buy a Scania, don't buy a Merc, but...
Hey, them fucking S-Series Scanias, they're as high. Although, admittedly,
I can still clean my windows.
Although I will say, with the S-Series Scania, when you go in and you look underneath it from the back, you can't see daylight on an S-Series Scania. <Yeah. laughs> But there seem to be things under there other than fucking air. You can't.
Yeah, it's called an engine.
Oh, is that what it is? I did wonder.
That's what's missing.
Yeah. Well, no. Again, let me just defend the Mercedes. It fucking goes. Right. Hey, Chris, I've got two arseholes.
Have you? That's not the first time you've said that.
1 second. Let me just rephrase that. I have two people that I'm gonna call arseholes on the podcast.
Okay. So we're doing the arseholes of the week section.
Yeah, I people seem to like it. I don't know why, but it would seem that. It would seem truck drivers just like abuse.
Okay.
Does that say something about us as an industry?
Nah. Let's just call them an asshole. Come on.
Right. So Nick at Tamworth. I was at Tamworth Services and there was this lad backing in to the spot. He's only been on Artics, I think, like 2 weeks, you think he was saying? He did a fucking good job. I think he did better than me after
That's
2 weeks.
Hard.
Yeah, I think he's done better than me after two fucking years. He's got it in and hasn't collided with anything. Always a fucking good sign. Nick, yeah, good reversing. And you're an arsehole, my friend. Congratulations.
Yep. Well
and,
done.
Also, Paul Burridge, he's written... Dear Tom, will fix it. Please, please fix it for me and for me to be an arsehole on your podcast. Have I just been compared to Jimmy Savile?
I think so. So for that reason, I'm making him arsehole of the week.
I wasn't expecting to be compared to Jimmy Savile. I'm not sure how we are. How are we on paedophile jokes? Are we okay on them, or are we just going to have to go ahead and avoid them like the plague?
No, we'll just stick to what we've got, the arsehole of the week. Well done, congratulations. So, before we go any further into Tom being Jimmy Savile's stunt double, we are joined by a guest this week.
We're getting fucking close to the edge. We're pushing it. Each fucking week, we're pushing it closer and closer. with this fucking cancel culture, hey, fucking some of the shit we've shared so far, how the fuck have we not been cancelled? Sorry, guest, we have someone on.
Yes, we do. Are you quite finished there?
Oh, for now, yeah. No, no.
Can I speak?
For now. I've got more left in me.
Right, okay.
Giggity. That's what he said.
This week we are joined by a guest. Our guest is joining us all the way from the Isle of Man. It is Mike from the YouTube channel Isle of Man Trucker Mr. B.
Is that a real place, the Isle of Man?
The Isle of Man's a beautiful place. You've got to be very posh to live here. Honestly.
So what are you fucking doing there then?
Hang on. You don't sound like you're from the Isle of Man.
Well, we'll come into that a bit later on because I'm a hybrid. A bit like Tom and yourself, Chris.
A hybrid? Wow, we've got to the point where we're already bigging ourselves up. Fair play. After me and Tom have just destroyed the podcast, why not big everything up?
Yeah.
How are we doing today, Mike?
I'm all right, sir. I've just been listening to the introduction there. And as mentioned, so Tom there, he's a little bit height on that. I think he needs some Simon Cowell shoes. You know, with the platforms.
Let's not make him taller.
I can't even get him under fucking doors of these.
Yeah, let's not make him taller. Come on.
Or a trampoline. Get a little trampoline.
Well, I was thinking more of a chainsaw.
I get people coming up to me and they'll say a few things. They'll say, it must be really good to be tall. It is fucking not. It's a pain in the ass having to try to find a car that you can get your legs, your knees under the steering wheel. It's a
just
fucking
sit on
pain.
The back seat.
Honestly, there's days where I think that might actually be easier. I genuinely do. And then people come up to me and they'll say stuff like, and I never get this. And if you're listening and you are like short, as in like you're under 5 foot or something like that, do you ever get people coming up to me and say, do short people ever get people coming up and saying, you're really short? Do you know that? Because I get people coming up to me and say, you're really tall. Did you know that? As if this is some fucking revelation. As if they're telling me something that I've never known. And it suddenly is like, this is why I keep banging my head on fucking everything. You've changed my life. Thank you. I didn't ever knew why. Why has no one ever told me this? And then there's the other one, which is, do you play basketball? No. Do you play fucking mini golf? I assume you must do because you're short, and short people play anything to do with mini. Not that I feel angry about any of this.
The real reason behind short tall people is like Tom, because you're so tall. Your parents had sex on a Saturday night, and they're high. You say yes, and a short person. They have sex. Their parents.
I'm aware of my mum and her. Her teenage days, and I have heard she was high. That's definitely something I have heard. Shall we move on before I get myself into shit with my mum?
Yes, please.
Right. Chris, I want to go first. And don't worry, Drake, just to point out, this is not a rant-ish.
It's kinda. The ish bit.
Kind of, right. Go on. Okay, so... So some of this, by the way, I'm not going to go into any graphic details or any of like this, but there was a crash. This is what was the date it was actually on the crash? Because I'm going to bring up full details of this very soon.
15th.
So this is a crash that happened on the M6, and it happened
15th. 15th.
Yeah, but it's the time. It's the time I wanted to bring up, and there's a reason. Oh. So this happened at 10 to 10 on the M6 just past Junction 16, which is the Stoke junction. And there was a crash which I came upon. And it was serious. But I've been to a few accidents before. And by the way, sorry, just because we do have someone from the Isle of Man. The M6 is something what's called a motorway. And the motorway is like a road, but it has more lanes.
Is that bigger than the dual carriageway?
No, over in like a proper country, we have these places.
Wow.
Sorry, mate.
So we're insulting the guest. Okay.
What fucking start as we mean to go on, lad? Right.
We have trains, here. We have trains.
one carriage long doesn't count as a train.
Right. So this is a section of the M6, which is four lanes wide. And I'm not going to go into the graphic details, but I'm just going to go through the beat by beat of what is, as far as what's currently understood has happened, given what evidence there was and stuff like that. So I've come upon a Royal Mail truck. I'm not going
to Royal Snail.
It was trucking along, like it was. All right. Yeah, it was doing 56 at the time of the crash, so it was actually for a Royal Mail, actually quite quick. I mean, don't get me wrong, I was about to overtake him, I would have been overtaking him, but yeah, we won't get into that. So it's definitely limited to 90, mind. Yeah, yeah. Right.
K's or miles an hour.
So moving on. So this is actually quite serious, what's happened. There was a car in lane one, and this was, I can't remember if it was like a Toyota Yaris or something like that. It was a very small car. A white MAN with a blue trailer and a blue container on the back of it. Now, this vehicle, for whatever reason, has gone into lane one where this car was. Now, whether or not he hasn't seen the vehicle because it was in his blind spot, or if he's got distracted or something's happened like that, either way, he's ended up hitting this car in lane one. The car has then spun out. The driver's then tried to kind of back off, and the car has then come out into lane three, where the Royal Mail truck was overtaking.
Okay.
And the result was the Royal Mail truck and the driver, to full credit, did everything he could do. And it's strange. Once we were there for hours. We were there for, I think, over 4 hours we were there, because the passenger of the car is, she was airlifted off scene. So it was serious. It was as bad as it comes, like.
Yeah, yeah.
So the Royal Mail truck has done everything. He's trying to avoid it. He slammed the brakes on. You can actually see on the road the point in which that he's done it. And he must have had reactions like a fucking jet fighter pilot. He was on the brakes, but the end result was he's hit this car and it has caused very serious injuries. The MAN driver drove off. He slowed down, and people say that, I've heard people saying, oh, you'd never know if you've hit a car or something like this. I've had people hit my truck. You fucking can hear it. You know if you've hit someone. That guy has driven off. So that is a fact. He has driven off from an accident. So this is...
Do we know what point of his vehicle hit it, though? Because if it's the trailer, he wouldn't know.
It was the front. It was the front of the truck. There was paint transfer on the car, right, that I'd seen. It was the front of it. Basically, what's happened is he's essentially pitted the car. He's obviously connected the front of it, and it's hit the car about the on the rear axle as such. Basically, it obviously just spins the car out, which is how it's basically, the car has then pirouetted and ended up essentially going backwards towards the central reservation, which is when Royal Mail's then connected with him. So before we start this off, if you are this fucking dickhead and you haven't been caught yet, do the right thing and fucking turn yourself in. Because the reality is, everyone makes mistakes. The second that you decide to drive off, you're a fucking bell end. And honestly, it's a disgrace. If you are witness to this, you can call police, contact Cheshire Police on 101, and we'll put this in the description. You're going to quote, it's India Mike Lima 1108734. If you're a witness to this and you'd seen the white MAN, or you think you might know who has done this, contact them. because this guy, mistakes happen. The second that you drive off from a crash, that is, yeah.
They're not on CCTV.
Basically, what's happened is he's just driven through an ANPR camera.
Yeah,
they're going to catch him. But again, if you are witness to this, they are still looking for witnesses. They're still looking for people who've actually seen it. I was about 4 minutes behind what happened. But so that's what's actually happened to it. I'm not going to go into the details of it. I'll level with you guys. I've been to some accidents, and as you guys know, I've also had dealings with someone on a bridge, a suicide jumper, I've seen some graphic stuff. This was by far the worst thing I've seen, so I'm not going to go into that. But there are a couple of things that I want to kind of just take on with this. Which first, this driver was there for 4 minutes, and he didn't know what to do.
Right.
He didn't know what to do, and no one was stopping for him. Mm-hmm. All of these cars were driving past an accident, and it's taken... I mean, don't get me wrong, someone has stopped. I've stopped. And in fairness, another van driver stopped behind me as well to lend assistance. And the look of relief on this guy's face when he realized there was people there to help. If you have first aid training and you see someone in distress like that, why can't just stop and help?
Because it's Friday, pure and simply. I'll tell you now, because it was Friday.
And so the other side to this is, and I think me and you've disagreed on this in the past, possibly, but I think
probably
that I think it should be mandatory that every heavy goods driver has first aid training to even a basic level. See, I disagree with you. I think you're wrong.
No.
Why do you say that?
Because first aid training basically trains you to deal with a dislocated shoulder and a deep laceration. That is it. That's all they're training you for. Like, you come across an accident like you did. What is that?
Again, not going into any details, I will say that... Because we discussed this, and you're actually a combat medic, so you you've got a level of training well above mine.
Yeah,
but yeah, I think even you were like, yeah, that's that. It was an impossible choice that I had to make.
Yeah,
which was, but still, I still think that we should. Right, okay, Mike, weigh in on this.
Uh-huh.
Do you have first aid training?
Not at all.
Do you think that you should?
Well, I think this day and age now, people would prefer to take a photograph of someone there than help them.
It's funny enough. I'm gonna fucking touch on this. I am gonna touch on this, but yeah, it's funny you should mention that. That is something I'm gonna talk about.
I think a lot of it is right. So if you start first aid training every heavy goods vehicle driver, as you're suggesting here, Tom. Yep, it would be. In some situations, yes, it would be helpful for, you know, because there's thousands. Well, there's not. There's like 100,000 short, according to the figures. But there's wagon drivers on the road. So technically, yes, one of those would encounter the accident, what have you. The problem comes is there's a bit of responsibility, isn't there? So
should it not be part of your CPC?
Exactly. Do you even have to, just quickly, we won't cover that because we are going to cover that. But
the problem, I think the problem with making everybody first aid trained is the fact of they've got to accept responsibility for their
actions.
You're
wrong, Chris. You're wrong. You are wrong. I understand what you're saying with the fact that there is a level of responsibility. But the fact being, if you look at stuff like a heart attack or something like that, by having that many more first aiders out there, again, so them first critical seconds are so important.
I understand that, but if you stop and assist someone having a heart attack and perform CPR on them and fracture a rib and puncture a lung and they survive, they can sue you. You broke their rib. That's the thing a lot of people don't realize.
I don't think they can.
They can. I know you caused injury to them.
I don't know.
Can sue doctors. They can sue doctors and surgeons. You know, if they have a surgery and a surgeon, you know, messes up and hurts them in another way.
See, this is the reason why I keep saying it. We need a producer on here to be able to look up shit like this. Mm-hmm. I do know that in certain states of America, that is a thing. But I mean, all I can think is, so I will say, if I've had first aid training, mm-hmm. and I know from that, I think if anyone ever had a heart attack in front of me, my first aid training wouldn't kick in. It would be that advert with Vinnie Jones. Did you ever see that? Here's one I made earlier. It's fucking so good. You never kiss your mother on that. You only kiss your mother on the hot side. Yeah. It's fucking so good. It's so fucking good.
I could see where you're coming from with the first aid training. There are, I'm going to say, 90% of the situations where it would help.
But it's levels, isn't it? There's different levels.
All it takes is that one person, like I say, you know, someone's heart stopped beating or they've stopped breathing, so they've got to perform CPR, and you get a trucker that's a big bloke, let's say, yeah? And he puts a little bit too much downwards pressure on the sternum.
Using the boots or something.
But yeah. What they said, going back to this fucking amazing advert, better a cracked rib than him being dead.
This is true. But then obviously it's where there's a blame, there's a claim society, isn't there? And this is why a lot of people won't stop at a situation like that. Because they're, you know, they could stop, they could help, they could save that person's life. But in the process, they could crack a rib. Mm-hmm. Fine. You know, if I was that casualty, I'd be eternally grateful that somebody did perform CPR. All right, they cracked my rib. I'll get over that. But then there's a blame, there's a claim society. There are people out there that would go, you broke my rib. I'm going to sue you for that. I need compensation for that.
See, I get your stance. Maybe it's
a grey area.
Well, yeah, maybe this is the fundamental difference between me and you. I am the eternal optimist and you're the cynic.
Thanks.
Do you actually think people are scared of getting, like, if there's blood involved, that they get splats of blood? They think, oh, they're HIV, they're all this type of thing as well?
Yeah, there's lots of stuff to take into account. And then you've also got to think as well at the moment with, air quotes, COVID, you know, people don't know, is that person... have they got it? You know, if they stop and assist, they could get it. I think the predominant thing was it's Friday. That's why it's Friday. People are going home.
To me, it just seems immoral to see someone at potentially their worst time of their life and mm-hmm. not to stop and help. And mm-hmm. just to kind of move on to, there was two parts of this I wanted to cover, which is something I know we have covered before. And funny enough, some of the officers that were there were the officers we've talked about, which is at a major crash. Mm-hmm. They'd taken their body cam off and they'd put it on the fucking, on the central, and they fucking recorded them. And they went because there was at one point one of them shouted, "Put your phone down now!" as he went past, and you could see him fucking immediately.
Yeah, so there'll be people getting done for that.
Yeah, well, no, they were not on this one here, but from what they were saying, that it sounds like they're going to start making that a standard procedure. And you know what? Fucking good on them. Yeah. Good on them. They should absolutely categorically be doing this because I don't know. I mean, it's one thing to be one of these nosy parkers that kind of slows down to
rubberneckers.
Exactly. Them ones there. It's one thing for that. Is this again? Is that something that you see? It's hard to kind of get a judgment of if you see it more, but with it being quite a small island, do you find people when there is a crash, does news travel quite fast? Do people kind of not? I don't. When I say flock,
they all know each other over there. Of course, it travels fast.
Related.
Well, I wasn't going to say that.
I'm going to be honest with you. I was about to make an inbred joke. Maybe I shouldn't. I don't know.
No, but most of the time over here, people know somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody. And when you get onto the social medias, they all come up with the 2 plus 2 adds up to 5. We get a lot of that over
does
here.
It? I always thought it was 4.
That sounds like tipper driver maths, that right there. It did take me. I was like, that doesn't sound right to me somehow. It took me a second to work out, oh no, that's not right. That 2 plus 1 just not equal.
Before you make yourself any stupider, shall we move on to Mike's topic?
Yeah, let's talk about his first one. Go on. So what are you bringing to us?
I want to bring driving here in the Isle of Man. And it's interesting to hear that you mentioned these motorways and how we've never seen a motorway and stuff like that. But we do have. Now, if I'm heading down south from the port, I might go 10 miles.
What, and then you're in the water again?
We're at the end of the road. And in that 10 miles, I might do half a mile of dual carriageway.
Just out of curiosity, how many dual carriageways do you actually have over there?
I think we've got one.
Isn't that the one that basically runs from one end of the island to the other?
No, not that big.
Oh, right.
We'll just have one, just one section. On the way to the airport, that's probably the busiest road.
I do know the roads over there. They're awesome roads because I watch the Isle of Man TT, and I know they are some good driving roads.
So I've got a question. There is no national speed limit, is there?
Well, slowly but surely they're starting to dilute that, and the mountain section, you can do whatever speed you like.
But what about in a truck?
No, we're restricted to 40 mile an hour. None is 56. We just do 40.
40?
Yes. 40 mile an hour?
Yes. We're going fast, aren't we?
Bloody...
What?
They keep,
that's
they're
what it's
hands
limited
with the
to,
Scots.
40 mile an hour?
40 mile an hour. Because, to be fair, we don't have to go very far. And if you pass someone at 40 mile an hour, you'll soon be held up by the next person in front of you.
When you say limited to 40 mile an hour, is that what the speed limit is, or your truck physically can't go any quicker?
No, the truck could go quicker.
Right. Okay. We need to watch out when we say limited, because that's fucking wild. I thought you meant you got to 40. No matter where, that fuck is not. So, okay, what about on the dual carriageway?
Still 40 for a heavy goods vehicle on the island.
On the dual carriageway?
Yeah. I've only got a mile of that. So it's not going to be that long.
There's JCB fast tracks that'll fucking outdo you at 40 mile an hour.
There is actually, yeah.
Wow.
I mean, I thought
Scotland was brutal.
Yeah, I could see it on the single carriageways because, like, you have got some... Like I say, some serious driving roads, I will call them. So if you're not paying attention, there's nasty corners, there's, you know, crests and hidden dips and stuff like that. So yeah, I could see it on single carriageway, but dual carriageway, but then you say that it's only, what, a mile long? I suppose, you know. Tom, it'd take you a mile to get to 40 miles an hour in your truck, so...
I don't know, this new one's really... What, can we stop fucking going after the Mercedes?
It's never going to happen.
Nice truck, apart from the.
I've never had a Mercedes pass me yet, not once.
I can't think why. They're all broken down, waiting to start. What truck do you drive, just out of curiosity?
Well, I've got, at the minute, I'm driving a 2016 DAF CF, which has got the construction cab on it.
Did-a-ding. That's the noise nightmares are made of.
No, but to be fair, the truck's really good. Like, you know, the Alaman is the perfect size, and it's because it's got the construction cab on, it sits a little bit taller, so we've got plenty of ground clearance for you know, when we go on farms and such as. And the Manx roads are quite rough as well, to be honest. So it's nice and comfortable.
Okay, so let's talk about some of the other things. So do you have any limits, as in, like, what are the weight limits there?
No, we can carry 44, and then obviously if you get more axles than six, you can carry some more. Depends what you're bringing in.
Right. So that's just
because I am aware that we now actually have American viewers and
viewers.
We've got some American listeners, and also as well, just very quick, I'm currently working on doing a collaboration with Talk CDL, an American podcast, our brothers over on the other side of the water. So, just for the Americans, when he's saying 44 tons, that's about 88,000 pounds.
Pounds, yes.
That's the weight, which is exactly the same as it is over here in the UK. Because I know they are a lot more lax over there. Do you even know what DVSA is? Do you know what a taco is? Do you know what driving hours are?
Whoa, Tom, let him answer the questions.
Wow, hit me quite a bit there. we have all them functions in the truck, believe it or not. We don't need to use them, because when I actually go to bed at night time, which I do every night, and I get up in the morning at 5:30 in the morning,
Let's be honest, on an island that size, you don't need a sleeper, do you?
Oh, yeah, I suppose. You're not going to do a night out, are you? But, hang on.
Do a night out. You know what? Fuck it. I'll just walk. Tom,
you're skipping over a point here. Did you say you don't use tachographs?
No, we don't. We don't have a tachograph in the Isle of Man. We just go to work and do a usual day. Work on the usual day.
You don't even have analog tachographs or write anything down. You just...
It'll be fine. There's no issues there.
You know, I said I was moving to America. I've just changed my mind.
Uh-huh. It does sound... Yeah, the idea of... So, do they try and recommend that you do? Like, cause you can just start work and you don't have to have a break at all.
No, we can do whatever hours we like. We do, twelve
money,
hours.
And you get paid by the hour, right?
Because realistically, at the end of every day, we're going home to our bed, so it's just a working man's day.
But still, after 4.5 hours of driving, which I'm guessing.
They've done 20 laps of the island in 4.5 hours.
Yeah, I was going to say, how many? Okay, so obviously, forget working time. How much have you got a rough idea of how much driving time you do in a day? As in, have you ever looked on the machine and actually seen like what it actually says you've done driving wise?
You know, the machine is obsolete to us, so we don't bother with that. But if I was going,
it is in most Irish wagons as well, so there's no difference there.
So realistically, the furthest trip I could do is about 40 minutes away. So,
wow, it takes me that long to get to the motorway.
The Isle of Man is a bit
Tom,
like
you do
the
realize
UK.
That's less than driving from my house to your house, Tom.
I'm sure it's an hour and a half to us. The only way he could do that distance is there and back. If he gets there, realizes he's forgot the trailer and has to fucking go back to get it.
Yeah, but at least it's a bonus, right? You think, how many times, Tom, at the start of your week, have you got an hour, 2 hours down the road and you've gone, oh, crap, I left that in my car or I left that in the yard. You know, if Mike forgets, somebody goes, I'll be back there in about 10 minutes anyway, so it doesn't matter.
So, like, but the thing that watching your channel and some of the things that I mean, some of that you mentioned, Chris, is how kind of varied the work is that you do. Holy fuck. I mean, what the work that he does, it's nothing in like variety wise. It's just unbelievable. He sent me pictures where he's been delivering at Marks and Spencer's. Then he's tipping at a fucking. He's using an actual tipper to tip somewhere. Then the next day he's got some fucking wide load with tractors on it. And then the next day he's delivering to another shop. And then it's every single day.
Three HGV drivers in the whole of the Isle of Man. So
actually, how many of. You'll fucking know each other all by name, I would assume. But how many of you are there, drivers wise?
I'd say, well, we have locally in the company I work for, we have a good six or seven. And then, so that's probably the biggest company over here.
Whoa. So,
yeah.
Okay.
So right. There'd be about 50, I'd say.
So, just out of curiosity, has the government sent you the letters asking, do you want to come and help us out because we're struggling for drivers? Take them from the Isle of Man, just get them from fucking anywhere.
Technically, they should have, because you're still part of the UK, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So your driver's license still comes from the DVLA at Swansea. So technically, they should have got the letters as well.
Yeah. Did you get the letter?
Some drivers, I've got a digi card. I've also got CPC and all that myself personally. But there's no need for us to go over there. We have a big team in the UK who drive. So,
do you need CPC in the Isle of Man?
No, it's only if you want to. In the Isle of Man jurisdiction, we don't need CPC.
What the fuck is happening? Why are we here? So you don't... Right.
No, we don't have anything else.
I think the more important question is,
do you have a need for another two drivers?
Again, just for some of our work. Again, Chris, we have an international audience. A CPC, just to kind of...
I don't care, they're arseholes.
Yeah, fuck you. I'm fucking doing something nice here. I'm trying to explain to people. So shut the fuck up. Right.
Yes.
CPC is additional training that you have to do every... Is it every 5 years we have to do it? We have to do 30 summer hours. Basically, we have to do additional training. It's all bollocks. It's a money-making scheme, but we have to do it because... We have to. I don't fucking know. But yeah. But apparently you guys don't have to, which is...
Well, we just don't need it, you see.
Do you even have to do a license?
Yeah, well, you have to pass your HGV class one.
Is that done with Dave around the corner? That
I was
going
to say, is it like one of them Indian tests where all you have to do is just like drive forwards 5 meters and reverse back and you get out?
Well, they can't go for an hour and a half drive like we have to on our test because then they've done two laps of the island.
We're going to go for a quick drive all the way into around the islands. We're back in 10 minutes. It's fine.
We'll even stop for lunch. I mean, don't get me wrong, I've never been to the Isle of Man, and it is something I have thought about, apart from you have to get a boat really to get there. And
you don't like boats, do you?
No.
You get a plane as well. You get a plane.
But I can't exactly get 44 ton on the plane, can I? But
well, say for instance, I won't mention the company, but you know, there was a load that I'd seen the trailer being loaded with a product, and they were saying it's going to the Isle of Man. And I was like, oh, I'd love to take that. I genuinely, it'd be ace to go. And they said, oh, no, it'd be taken to the docks and it'll be sent over.
Yeah, and then they shouldn't have.
And then I was watching
boat.
Fucking Mike's video. Mm-hmm. And there's the fucking trailer. He's delivering it. The one I wanted to take, he's fucking delivering it. It was quite surreal seeing world. this trailer being taken. Well, it's very small world and Isle of Man, apparently.
Right, yeah.
How
many fuel stations do you have there?
Oh, there's plenty of fuel stations. It'd be a good.
You've got plenty of fuel.
Bags of fuel. We have none of that over here.
You won't have next week because that's where everybody's going to fill
bags.
It now.
Yeah, you should not be storing it in bags. Just FYI, do not store it in bags.
I think the Isle of Man would have about 6 months' supply here. Easily.
You won't have, like I say, you won't have next week now. All the truckers are queuing at the port now to go across to fill up and come back again.
Now they've heard this. Why is there so many trucks here? Well, it's quicker than stopping at fucking Kiel services, so we thought we'd come here.
Wow.
There's fucking revelation to this one here. Genuinely, I was unaware of it fucking most of
I
this.
I thought because you were part of the UK, and well, not were, you are part of the UK, I'd have thought all the laws that we have to abide by would count for you.
Only if we're in the UK.
But you are in the UK. Just because you're on an island.
We have our own laws. The Isle of Man is a separate jurisdiction, so we make our own tax laws and our own laws.
It's another Scotland situation. Should I be having my money in a bank in the Isle of Man? Can I avoid taxes if I do that?
Well, no, they don't have money over there. They trade in pogs.
No, we have, you're allowed an English pound over here. But to be fair, the Manx money is a Manx person. We get less taxes to get of our money. So we're better off, but the cost of living is a lot higher here.
So just right, if you don't want to answer this, that's fine. So what's the average hourly rate for a truck driver out there? If you're not comfortable with that, that's fine. Don't worry.
No. We're about £13, but then we go into, you can be time and a half and double time as well. That's fair, because that's common knowledge.
It's not bad, is it, really? Mm-hmm. Considering that's literally just day work.
That's just day work. That's all we do is day work, I guess.
And so what time do you start in the morning?
So if I start in the morning, most mornings at 6 o'clock sharp. And then we work.
That sounds like me, so yeah.
And then if you want to get home for Tenable at 3 o'clock, that's up to you. Or if you want to get home for the chase.
3 o'clock?
3 o'clock?
In the afternoon, that.
Chris.
That's your day done.
Chris, what are we doing in this country?
I don't know, but I've already bought a ticket. While you lot were talking, I've been online here and bought a ticket.
It's just occurred to me that we're now 43 minutes in, and we've already covered two topics.
My topic's going to be quick.
Right, okay. You are. You know what? I've heard that you are very quick.
Oh, hi. I want to talk. Well, before I go into it, I'm going to give everyone an update on the price of salmon, because it has been asked quite a lot. Last time I spoke about the price of salmon, we're talking about whole salmon here, not the little bits you get from a supermarket.
Just bear with this. Just let him just...
It'll only take a couple of minutes. Last time I spoke about it, the price of salmon was £60 for a whole fish. It's gone up to £70.
Is that because of the haulage index? Is that because of the driver shortage, do you think?
No, it's because everybody's bloody buying them now to slap cyclists in London. Costing me a fortune now.
Yeah, that's true. Again, should we be trying to breed these in a different, more... I don't know.
But we could use the Isle of Man.
Do we? A bit like, you know, how when you go into a fish and chip shop, you specifically have to ask for cod now, otherwise you'll get like haddock or plaice, you'll get something like that. Are we, for hitting cyclists, are we okay using a substitute fish?
No, it's got to be a salmon.
It has to be a salmon. So like, what if it's got like a larger, like a marlin or something like that? They've got a fucking sharp nose to them.
Nope.
Okay.
It's got to be a salmon.
So it's going to be frozen.
No, they've got to be alive.
Oh, right.
This is a revelation. So we're going to be hitting cyclists. You know, we're going to have new listeners who have no idea what we're talking about.
Yeah, we'll go back to episode one. There's 29 other to listen to. So,
wait.
Yeah, episode 30.
This is episode 30?
You know, we've been doing this for 30 weeks.
How's the other rival podcast going?
About 27 behind. Anyway, my actual topic.
Go on.
Right. Ready meals.
Right.
Now, there's a behind this. So.
Oh, sorry. Just quickly. Right. Mike. So,
yes.
In England, England's a lot bigger than the Isle of Man. Yeah, so sometimes a lot of drivers, we can't just kind of, if you're a bit further away, down, we can't just walk home. So we actually have to stop in our trucks throughout the week. When we say long distance, that's more than 40 minutes. generally speaking. So we'll have to sleep in the truck and we'll have to make our meals. Dick. I am. I know. I fucking know.
Right. So where I'm going with this is, obviously, Mike, it might not apply to you, but like I say, for me and Tom, we both live in the wagons all week. So obviously we've got to be able to eat. Predominantly, most truck drivers will buy ready meals from supermarkets because you can just chuck them in microwave, you know, jobs are good. And why is it that ready meals, the selection of them isn't exactly, what should we call it, healthy, so to speak? If you actually look at the calories on a ready meal and all the information.
A calor what?
Calories.
Calor what?
Calories.
No, no. Are you speaking English now, lad?
No, I'm speaking Swish.
Okay.
Swish? Right. Swiss. No, I'm definitely not speaking English.
You've obviously need to go and shop at Marks and Spencer's, though, to be honest, because that's not dog.
How much do you think we get paid?
No, I will actually back him up on this. Marks and Spencer's does actually have a good selection of ready meals. They actually have a really good selection of ready meals. And Tom, do you know what I've just tried recently? Tom, go on.
You visited where I live. Do you think we have a Marks and Spencer anywhere in our vicinity?
No, but you... Right, no, because I have come to your house and you made it out like it was...
Beirut.
Yeah, and I didn't get stabbed much once.
Much?
There was a light, gentle, hello, here's a bit of a stab sort of thing. But apart from that, it was quite a nice place. And the guy apologised for stabbing me afterwards. So really?
Only because you gave him your wallet.
Wow.
Yeah.
So the trouble is, if you go for a posh brand like Marks and Spencer's, you're not going to get horse meat, are you? I think some of the stuff you buy in the lesser brands...
Oh, let's not discuss about horses, please.
The garage around the corner, where when I, after all of that happened for about a month, had all of the brands that, and all of that, you know, the ones that they actually showed on the pictures of like, they had them exact ready meals, and they just put them on reduced price, just like half off. I'm still selling them. Not fucking get rid of these. They'll still fucking buy them, lad. Two that I have found recently, I think it's Morrison's. They do a baked tater, and it has a bit of butter in there, and it's kind of just basically, it's like a kind of fresh one. You get it in the fresh thing. It's fucking lush. Oh, it's so good. And then the other one, which I was actually genuinely surprised by.
Do you wear a dicky bow when you're eating in your truck?
What, silver spoon?
like you're dying.
There was who was that TikTok lad that you like?
Trucker Tim.
And what was it he did?
He done a sketch. So he set out a dining cloth in his cab, got silver cutlery, china plates, candles, everything like that, and sat there eating his dinner off it. And then the next day he brought a kitchen sink and done the washing up.
He's probably the Mercedes driver. He's probably driving the Mercedes, was he?
I think he was actually as well. Yeah.
Us Merc drivers, we're higher class than you Scania lads, eh?
Shut up. While we're speaking about the food, though, just going to the Isle of Man, truck stops.
What are they?
Right, okay. That answers that question.
So we don't need that.
Right.
What about if you want to eat while you're out on the road?
Well, you stop at a local shop and buy something.
About like a full English breakfast? Well, you're not in England, do you? So I suppose you don't want one of them. You'll have croissants have you.
But you do make a good point here. What is what's on a, what we would classify as like a full English? What would you call that? And what do you have on it?
In the Isle of Man?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is it a full mank or
no,
is it?
No,
that
it's
sounds,
full English.
That
it's
sounds.
We have sausages and eggs and beans, hash brown.
Yes, yeah, so the full English.
Yeah, proper English.
But how do you get it? If you haven't got a truck stop, how do you manage to get one of them?
Because you just go home.
Yep. That.
How did we not see that coming?
I don't know if I could move there now, Tom. I'd have to go home every night.
That's fucking frog me. I just go home.
It was simple, wasn't it? It was
just around the corner. I can see the fucking blade.
Do you have lay-bys big enough to park the trucks in?
One or two, just a couple.
I suppose you've only got 50 trucks fighting for them, haven't you? So,
when your boss calls it, said, where are you? I'm in the lay-by. Which one of the three is
he? Yeah. I'm in the south side of the island, north side.
I kid you not, we have a driver who works for us. I won't mention his name, but he's an ex-bus driver.
Yeah, but there's only six of you, so it's not many.
He actually parks on the bus stops. He was talking to him. I think he thinks he's still at work in a bus.
It sounds like Tom parking in the coach bays at the services.
The what bays?
Coach bays.
There's coach bays now? Mm. Wow, this is wild information for you. Just before we move on to the last topic, what's the Greggs situation like?
That's people who make the pasties and that. We don't have that.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay, Chris, we can't go to the Island Man. Right.
I can.
I can't fucking go somewhere that hasn't got a Greggs.
You don't have Greggs?
No.
You have Subway?
No, we have Subway. We have just one
McDonald's?
Or two Subways.
McDonald's?
We have one McDonald's. Just one on the Island Man. We're going to get a KFC very soon.
What, you haven't got one yet?
No.
Have you had a KFC before?
Domino's?
Oh, I'm sorry, Pizza Hut. Do we have Pizza Hut? I think we've got one of them.
Fucking wild. This information is fucking wild.
Right. Before we just quiz you on what food places you have and what food places you don't have, would you like to move on to your last topic?
We're a trucking podcast. I keep forgetting this.
See, when I come to the UK and I go, I've been through the whole of the UK, most of the parts, the districts and the areas, the strangest thing is the accents. Because you can imagine a certain group of people who have the funny hats on the heads.
Funny hats. What, the police or DVSA?
No. They're made out of cloth.
Oh, yeah. Yep, I'm with you.
Right. They have cloth.
Tom.
Oh, wait,
just think of Leicester.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
So when I actually come to the UK and say I go to Scotland, and you'll see one of these chaps and I'll say to you, see you, Jimmy, in a Scottish accent. And then you'll see a Scouser one, calm down.
And
if I go to Birmingham, curry and chips.
Is that your version?
That's the worst Birmingham accent I have ever heard. You've just got to speak really slowly and sound like from you're Birmingham. Dumb. And then you're from Birmingham.
But what me? I always have to laugh because it's the same type of silhouette of a person, but they're bringing out this different accent.
So do you have different accents in the Isle of Man?
Not really, just wear a bit of a hybrid.
Do you have a classic kind of, is your accent kind of a classic Manx? Because we were trying to work, I'll be honest with you, I didn't ask you this, and we were trying to work it out, because you have kind of, it's kind of almost Scouser in a way. Are you Manx born and bred here?
Yes.
Right, so... Because the reason I was trying to work out with your accent is that because Liverpool was a kind of traditionally that was the kind of where stuff came in from, so that was kind of like historically that was the kind of point of contact with the mainland as such.
To me, Tom, you're not a Scouser and you're not from Newcastle.
I'm not from either of them places. I'm from the Lake District, which is why I've got a wacky accent.
because you're a hybrid from a Scotchman, a Welshman.
Whoa. I'm liking this. I'm just going to sit here peacefully. This is brilliant.
Well, you're similar as well, Chris, because you're a hybrid from a southern, load of southerners, aren't you? Are you from down south?
Right. Now I'm not going to sit here quietly.
So, okay, right. So I've got a Westmorland accent because I'm from what's called the Lake District. So I can't really explain. It's quite kind of a funny way. It's people think I'm from Yorkshire,
slightly Scottish,
not slightly Scottish, definitely not. Slightly
I would
Scottish.
Say it's slightly Yorkshire in your accent, but that Yorkshire is very close to you.
It's more Yorkshire than it is Yorkshire.
Is that Lancaster?
No, Lancashire's again. Well, but Lancashire's got like 15 different accents by itself. It just the best thing you can do is if you're not sure where someone's from, do you know like the roll, like a bread roll? Yeah, like okay, a, just yeah. like a bun or whatever. Ask them what it is, and different places will tell you different things. So I call it a bun. Well, what do you call it, Chris?
I call it a cob.
A cob. Then you've people in Lancashire. They'll call it maybe like a barm cake, or they'll call it baps or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, to be honest, yeah, it's. I don't think. Because you can't. Thing is, if you compliment, no, actually, I can't say this. Can I make this joke? I was going to say if you're complimenting a lass or something like that, and I say complimenting, obviously, can I just point out for any of our female listeners, I am very clearly joking here. But you can't say, "Hey, nice cobs, love." You can't say, "Oh, you've got a nice shit of barm cakes." But buns, you can say, "You've got nice buns." I don't know. Where are we going to get cancelled now?
Yep. I think that's the worst thing we've ever said.
Are you sure? Because I just didn't remember someone. I just didn't remember our first guest we ever had. We had to bleep out what he said about cycling. And we still get people trying to guess what he was.
Yeah, fair point.
That was episode one.
Accents, I think accents only really, like, once you get past the age of like 14, you won't really pick up an accent if you move, if that makes sense.
Because when I come across it and I go to somewhere like Newcastle and they start talking to me, I don't understand a word what they're saying to me.
Yeah, don't worry. That's not exclusive to where you're from. That is, most people cannot understand the Geordie, especially when they're fucking pissed. It's fucking nigh on impossible to understand the Geordie.
See, me and one of the lads at work were talking about this the other day, right? He's Scottish, right? And a lot of Geordie words are derived from Scottish words, yeah? Because we're so close to each other. But they mean different things. Same word can mean different things. So obviously in Newcastle, they'd say like, "Oh, that's a canny car you got." So canny in Newcastle means good, you know, nice car you've got. However, in Scotland, if you say that's a canny, it's like you canny do that. You can't say that canny car.
But the Geordie version, what's that from though? Do you think that's from the same kind of? That's a canny bird, that lake. I can't do a Geordie accent. I did a Russian one on my fucking. I think I got some comments about that on my one of my vlogs.
Accents are a weird thing, and there are certain accents, like if people have got a proper full on rich accent for that area, it can be difficult for people to understand. Very difficult.
But the bizarre thing is, when you go to Newcastle and Barnsley's not far away, so you say there's a totally difference in the...
Barnsley's a different kettle of fish entirely. That's a proper... That's about as Yorkshire as you get. So, I will agree. Even though you're looking on a map and you're kind of going, well, there's this place here, then there's that place there. Well...
they're clearly going to have the same accents. They do not. And it's like Manchester.
You've got Newcastle. Yeah, Newcastle and Sunderland right next to each other, different accents. Completely different.
Well, I was going
to
say, where does it change? Because there's Middlesbrough. Is that where the change suddenly goes from why I'm man to not Korean chips? But
it does kind of, it's weird. There is almost like a line that you could almost draw on a map, and you can tell the change in accents very drastically. Then, like you say, it's the same with Liverpool and Manx, isn't it? You know, there is a difference there, even though they're so close to each other, and you can pretty much draw a line.
It seems it's more of a northern thing than, because obviously it's easy, for down south. You've got like kind of in the Midlands, obviously you've got Birmingham, we've got that kind of very thick Brummie accent, but within the Midlands, it's quite
similar,
neutral as such. And obviously, you'll go over to Essex and then
they start getting an accent. Oh, yeah, you come down into London, they get one. And then you've got the Southwest and the Southeast. So there's not many accents.
I don't know about the Southeast. Again, that's quite neutral, but yeah, I'll say like the South.
So if you look at it in England, you have the cities. So the further out you go, the posher people live. That's how it works.
Yes, pretty much
based on the voice. Yeah.
Yep.
Right. Yeah, to an extent. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's a bit like the Isle of Man. Then you see, the posh people live here.
Right. What, just all of them. That's everyone's posh.
Apart from me. See, no.
So what you're now saying is we're not welcome there.
No, you're very welcome.
I was going to say because we're common as shit. Me and you.
There's no posh here.
As fucking as blue collar as it gets, like.
Is it blue collar?
Well, yeah, that's an American term. I know, but it means working class, isn't it? It's just like kind of scum of the earth,
down pits.
Yeah, I can dump bits like yeah.
Aye.
When I were a lad.
So yeah. That's Barnsley area, isn't it? All the pits and that. Is that round that area?
Oh no, we don't talk about the coal mines on this channel like anymore. Yeah,
No, let's not.
Yeah, no, it goes fucking bad. I may have mentioned Margaret Thatcher once and it did not fucking go down well. Yeah.
She's not liked.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, she was a great woman, wasn't she?
Oh,
what? Right. Okay. Before this turns into all out scale war,
we're cancelled now.
This turns into all scale war, Mike, would you like to plug your YouTube channel while you're on?
We're going to end the podcast on Margaret Thatcher. That's where we're ending the podcast. Wow. That's a fucking bold move right there.
You wait until you see the title.
And a great woman she is, too. Anyway. I think Boris is doing a good job as well, by the way.
From an
outsider looking in. This is an outsider looking in. We might not get the proper news.
See, for me, it when I was watching like the news in America, and they had... what's the fucking... Trump. They had Trump. And obviously, as a Brit, I think we're very naturally drawn to things that are going colossally wrong. When there is an absolute shit show in progress, we do like to look at it and kind of go, that'll be fucking bad, that right there. And then when we got fucking Boris Johnson, I was a bit like, oh no. Looks like it's our turn now.
Well, Trump did a good job as well, to be honest.
Oh, my God. Right. Well, let's end the podcast here, Chris. For the love of God.
No, Mike's got to talk about his YouTube channel first.
All right, yeah. Go on, talk about your YouTube channel.
If you're really not into motorways and you want to see some driving on A roads and B roads, give it a look. It's Isle of Man Trucker Mr. B. Most of the videos are 30 minutes long and we do just about every type of trailer you can think of, so there's an interest in it.
It's it. there's that expression, life is like a box of chocolates, so you'll never know what you're going to get inside. Although, I will say, that's bollocks. You do know what you're going to get inside. It always shows you the pictures of what you're getting inside, but I digress. But it is a good selection of stuff. I'm hungry, by the way. I need something to eat.
Thanks. Obviously, I will put a link to your YouTube channel, Mike, in the description for people to go check out. Thank you very much for coming on the podcast. It's been great to find out about the Isle of Man and where I'm going to retire to.
It's genuinely, actually, it's been genuinely fascinating. So thank you so much for coming on. It has been a pleasure. My only kind of final thing is, again, from the lead up at the beginning of the show, please go on. If you have seen what happens on... the 15th, Friday. Was it 15th? What did we say it was?
Friday the 15th.
9:50, junction 16 on the northbound carriageway. Or if you're witness to it, or if you know who the driver who hit a car and then drove off, if you know who this person is, inform police on 101. Again, the link, the reference code will be in the description. Go on.
Just, sorry, a parting shot, or not, a parting gift from me. The best bit of advice I can give yourself, Tom, and Chris is to get yourself a DAF.
Right, so on that note, thank you very much for listening. If you haven't listened, how have you made it this far? And I shall see you in the next one. Goodbye from me.
Bye. Please don't cancel us.
Bye-bye from the Isle of Man. It's been great.
Thank you.
What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere. Visit hyland.com.